What is it like when someone is released from captivity for the first time? I heard a story of a man who was imprisoned for 20 years and then set free. And this is what he said. The guards took me through various sets of gates, and then I saw my wife. She looked radiant, and the tears were rolling down her cheeks. And she held her hands in prayer form to her face in disbelief that I was finally going to go home with her. Suddenly, then it dawned on me that I was legitimately free to go home. We held one another tightly, and then we got into the car. And as we drove, my wife gave me an iPhone. I'd never seen a modern cell phone. She had to show me how to make a call. And so I made a call to my extended family, and I spoke to them. And there were tears of joy, but also tears of disbelief that this day, which we thought would never come, had finally arrived. He said that every second felt surreal to me. It was better than I could ever have imagined. I still feel the chills running down my body as I think of that moment. That's the feelings of freedom of this man. Now, to understand something of the freedom, the deliverance that God gives us through the Lord Jesus Christ, Leviticus chapter 25 gives us a picture of the liberty that God gave to the nation of Israel. To grasp something of the freedom that the gospel brings us through our Savior, we cannot just look at the freedom of one person. We have to look at the freedom of a whole nation to understand what God has done for us in the Messiah. What He's offering to the world that He had created and He loves so much. Maybe you're not a Christian this morning. Or maybe you're quite young and you wonder, what is Christianity all about? What is the big deal about Christianity? Or maybe you've been a Christian, but you have lost your enthusiasm. And maybe you have grown cold in your faith to God. Well, it is my prayer that all of us will be encouraged as we think about the year of the Lord's favor. When God brings favor into somebody's life. Now the first thing that we see in Leviticus chapter 25 is that God wanted the nation of Israel to remember that He had delivered them out of the land of slavery, the land of Egypt, three times. In Leviticus chapter 25, verses 38, 42, and 55, God said to Israel, I am the Lord God who brought you out of the land of Egypt to give you the land of Canaan and to be your God. God freed His people from slavery. And God was going to bring them into the promised land. And He didn't want them to forget that He was the one who delivered them. He was the one that gave them an inheritance. Therefore, they had to keep a Sabbath year, every seventh year, in which they did no agricultural work, no labor, But he gave them a double harvest to provide for all their needs. Isn't that amazing? It was to be a time where everyone was basically brought to the same level. Landowners, workers, residents, even strangers in the land, so that they could rest for a whole year and enjoy what God had provided for them. Even the animals were allowed to eat freely. Debts had to be cancelled. Just like God had given them a weekly holy day, God had now given them a yearly holy day so that they will be refreshed and spiritually blessed. To some extent, it must have felt like paradise had been restored to them. Children, have you ever heard of a pastor taking a sabbatical? Or maybe people who work, that they take long service leave, often it's after 7 years that they take a sabbatical. Well, that's based on this Sabbath law that we read of in Leviticus chapter 25. Now, people can get themselves or find themselves in all sorts of difficulties in life, can't they? Some people get there by falling into debt. And then they can't get out of the debt. And so what they do is maybe they sell their land. But when they sell their land, then they find that they are destitute. They have no place to stay. And then if things go from bad to worse, they may end up selling themselves into slavery to pay off their debt. They may never recover from everything that they had lost. And they may find themselves in a lifetime of slavery. Now, this is true physically, but it can also be true spiritually. Sin can ruin a person's life. They can ruin all their relationships. They can literally lose everything because of sin. Ultimately, they can lose their souls. That can make financial debt feel like a Busselton breeze, as compared to a Karatha cyclone in somebody's life, so to speak. How can we appreciate the rest, the blessing, and the freedom that we receive in Christ our Redeemer? How can we explain that to ourselves or to anybody else? The year of the Lord's favor gives us a picture of what it is like. Actually, there's more for us to see. Do you remember that some time ago we looked at the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur? That was in Leviticus chapter 16. On that day, the high priest made atonement for the people of Israel to cleanse them of all their sins. There was the sacrificial blood that was sprinkled on the mercy seat. And you might remember, there was the scapegoat that ran off into the wilderness, carrying the people's sins. Now, every 50 years, on the Day of Atonement, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity occurred. What was that? Have a look with me at Leviticus chapter 25, verses 9 and 10. We read there, "Then you shall sound the trumpet on the 10th day of the 7th month, and on the Day of Atonement, you shall sound the trumpet throughout all your land, and you shall consecrate the 15th year and proclaim liberty, the 50th year, and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you. Each of you shall return to his property, and each shall return to his clan. The 50th year was called the jubilee. It comes from the ancient word, or the word of the ancient trumpet, the ram's horn that was sounded on the Day of Atonement to proclaim liberty and freedom. Now a number of things happen. All land that was lost was then returned to the original owners. It was restored to them. They could go back to their properties and back to their families. In fact, the whole valuation system of land and Israel, buying and selling, was based on the year of Jubilee. So, for example, if somebody had lost their land, and they sold off their land in the 10th year, then the value of the land was calculated based on the number of harvests or crops that was still to come until the 50th year was reached. In other words, 40 years. And then, when the year of Jubilee arrived, all debts were cancelled, and the land went back to the original owners. So God's people couldn't lose their land permanently. But more than that, if someone had sold themselves off into slavery, they were released to go free in the year of Jubilee. The year of Jubilee. People received atonement for their sins. Their debts were cancelled. They received freedom from bondage to slavery. If they became dispossessed from their land, their lands were restored to them. The year of Jubilee was a year of liberty, of freedom. But it was also a year of holy rest. The Israelites did not work their lands. Everyone ate freely from the lands, from what God had richly supplied without anybody sowing. It was a year of the Lord's favor, enjoying and celebrating liberty. Can you imagine? Somebody who had been in bondage for years, when they heard the trumpet sound throughout the year, and that they realized that they were given freedom. The chills that would go down their bodies, the chills and the cries and the tears of joy, realizing that their debts had been cancelled. And they were now legitimately free. Years ago, in every city, you would find a bell. Why? Because a bell would symbolize the center of the city. And bells were used to tell the time. But bells were also used to announce breaking news. In days when there was no television or internet or any of the modern forms of communication that we have today, like the bell tower we have down at Elizabeth Quay. Children, I don't know if you've seen the bell tower. Now let me tell you about the city of Philadelphia in the state of Pennsylvania in America. They had a bell with a very interesting history. Philadelphia had a bell when the city was established But by the year 1750, the city had grown so large that everybody couldn't hear the bell anymore. So they needed a bigger bell for a growing city. The question was, what would they put on the bigger bell? Because historically, bells would be given a date, and oftentimes there would be some quote on the bell that relates it to some historical truth or some thing of significance for the city. So Benjamin Franklin ordered a bell all the way from London, and he put a Bible verse on the bell. What Bible verse do you think he put on the bell? Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 10. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all the inhabitants. That's the Bible verse that they put on the bell. The bell arrived in 1751. On the 50th anniversary, celebrating religious freedom and property rights. Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 10 was imprinted on the bell. So they got the bell and they rang the bell. And then the bell broke. So what did they do with the bell? Send it back to London? No, they gave it to two mechanics. It melted down and then they recast the bell. And what did they put on the bell? That same Bible verse. A major event happened in 1776. It was the year of independence. So they rang the bell to celebrate independence. Now the bell came to be associated with religious liberty, but also political liberty. But then the bell cracked when they rang the bell in 1835. And it cracked so badly on George Washington's birthday that they could no longer ring the bell. So what did they do with the bell? So they put the bell aside until 1837, when the slave trade abolitionists came along. And they asked the question, what was the words on that bell again? Proclaim liberty in the land to all the inhabitants. And they said, there we go. And they renamed the bell the Liberty Bell to commemorate the end of slavery in 1837. So the bell became associated with four types of liberty. Biblical liberty. Leviticus 25 verse 10. But flowing out of that, religious liberty, political liberty, and civil liberty. Liberty from slavery. The bell became the second best known symbol in America other than the American flag. Is it not interesting that this story of liberty, that God had used it to be told in American history. But here's the point. Similarly, we have a more significant symbol of liberty given to us in Leviticus chapter 25 that has been telling the story of God's liberty and freedom to Israel and to all the world since 1446 BC, a story of release, of redemption, of restoration, of rest, and the year of Jubilee, the year of the Lord's favor. The prophets took this whole idea of Jubilee to its end point when they spoke of the year of the Lord's favor in the age of the Messiah. Won't you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2. So we read there, The Spirit of the Lord was upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. The prophet Isaiah said that there was going to be a new era coming, calling it the year of the Lord's favor, in which those who were imprisoned would be set free, freedom proclaimed to captives, the brokenhearted would be healed, and there would be good news for the poor. Who would bring the liberty? Who would do it? The one who have the Spirit of God on him and who will be anointed. And the word anointed is the word mashach, from which we get the word Mashiach, which is Messiah. In other words, the Messiah would proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The Messiah would be a delivering Messiah. He would proclaim liberty. That same word that's used in Leviticus 25 and verse 10, describing the year of Jubilee. At the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry, in Nazareth, there in his hometown, in Galilee, Jesus took the scroll one day when he was in the synagogue, opening it up at this very same passage, Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2. And then announced, and Jesse read it to us, Luke 4, verse 21. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So the year of Jubilee speaks of liberty. The prophets said that Jubilee is a picture of the liberty which we find in the Messiah. Jesus announced that these things had now arrived. In other words, Jesus brings definitive liberty, the year of the Lord's favor in the age of the Messiah. Jesus inaugurated it at his first coming, and he will complete it at his second coming. If you are connected with Jesus this morning, then your sins are atoned for, and your guilt is removed through the sacrificial and substitutionary death of Jesus. And think about this. Your faith in Jesus means that you are set free from the bondage of sin and from the grip of evil. But more than that, Jesus, your Savior, secures for you eternal life and an eternal inheritance when He rose from the dead. And because you are united to Jesus Christ, God will provide for you all your physical and all your spiritual needs now and forevermore. And in Jesus you will find an eternal Sabbath rest, holy and unbreakable fellowship with God. Jesus brings the greatest possible blessing to people who have the greatest possible needs. And the liberty that Jesus Christ is offering to us is given in this life and will be completed in the life to come. When He one day returns with the sound of the great trumpet of God and with the holy angels, He will come to take His people to be with Him. The Sabbath year, the year of Jubilee, and maybe even this Liberty Bell. These are all pictures of the complete freedom and rest that we find in our Savior. Does it encourage you to think about that? So let us draw some points of application. All of us, sadly, experience slavery. All of us will experience losses and guilt and go through many trials in this life. Do you feel enslaved by anything? Children, I'm even asking you if are there perhaps thoughts that you can't get rid of? Thoughts that you know are not right. Maybe there are things that you are doing and you know they are not right. You can't stop doing them. And it doesn't matter what you do, you cannot break free from them. Do you realize that you are given an opportunity for deliverance in Jesus Christ? He specializes in setting people free who are in bondage. Bondage to sin, and they find themselves in the grip of evil. You do not have to be enslaved to anything. If Jesus sets you free, you will be free indeed. So why don't we ask if we haven't done it before? And if we feel the need for freedom, let's ask Him, Jesus, set me free, please. Maybe you've lost many things in life. I know some of us have lost many things. Maybe you've lost more than most. Physical things that you have lost, spiritual things, maybe relationships that you have lost. Maybe it feels like you are destitute because of all your losses. The message of the year of Jubilee is that all your losses will be restored in Christ Jesus. You can thank Him, the Messiah, for it. It may happen, but by being connected to Jesus, that some of these losses will be restored in this life. That would be wonderful. Worst case scenario, you may have to wait until you get to heaven. And then you will share in the inheritance of Jesus Christ Himself. And you will experience a weight of glory that far exceeds any of the losses that you may experience right now or can ever experience in this life. What about guilt? I know that guilt can be one of the hardest things to live with. Maybe you have guilt. Deep feelings of remorse over things that you have done, and guilt because you are living through the consequences of those things. Because of it, there's a deep, deep sadness in you and a brokenness in your heart. Jesus can reset things for those. In fact, Jesus can reset things for anyone who trusts in Him. The year of the Lord's favor works like this. When Jesus came the first time, He removes the guilt of sin when He died on the cross. It is done. But now, like the year of Jubilee, you may need to wait for all the consequences of your sin to be removed also. When you get to the promised land, heaven, You know, when we're going to get to heaven, we will probably not know how to pronounce the word guilt. And perhaps not even able to spell the word remorse anymore. Will that not be wonderful? It's worth waiting. What about trials? Ongoing trials. Those are the nasty ones. Maybe you have an illness or pain or stress, and you feel like you are hindered to be the person you want to be and to live the life that you want to live. You feel hopeless and ready to give up. What a friend we have in Jesus. Because of Him, you will not be utterly destroyed. One day, there will be a trumpet that will be blown throughout the world. And Jesus Himself will appear to bring liberty once and for all, to restore us to a perfect inheritance and restore us to perfection, to give us physical rest, spiritual rest, unending. Now, even if worse comes to worse for you in this life, hold on. Do not give up. It will be worth waiting for. What does it feel like when someone has experienced the freedom of God's salvation in Jesus Christ? How can we describe that? Before I give you the answer, let me tell you a quick story. Maybe if you've been following the news this week, you may have come across this story. It's the story of 52-year-old Fuad Farhan Alkadi. He's an Israeli Arab, and he was taken hostage on 7 October 2023 by Hamas, suffering something like 326 days of terror in captivity. Apparently he got shot on the 7th. And he was operated on in Gaza without anesthetics. Initially, he was placed with other hostages. He personally witnessed how hostages were shot in front of him after 2 months. He was removed and placed in a dark tunnel all by himself. Just militants around him, allowed to shower once a month. He survived on slices of bread and dates, and he lived in complete darkness. He was rescued earlier this week by the IDF on 27 August. After receiving freedom, I was struck to hear him say something very interesting. What he desires most, he desired that the remaining hostages would be released. If God has set you free, do you desire for other people to be set free as well? If God has saved us, do we desire that God would save other people too, like He has saved us? Let us pray that God will give other people the freedom that He has given to us in Jesus Christ. Let us share the gospel with them and tell them of the year of the Lord's favor. What is it like when people experience the freedom of God's salvation in Christ, the Messiah? What is it like? Their attitudes towards one another change. They are willing to extend liberty to one another. The last thing they want to do is to exploit somebody else or enslave them by what they say or what they do. but rather to share with them freely of what God has given to them in Christ Jesus, the gifts and the graces and the forgiveness. They're willing to write off all the debts that is done against them and to extend freedom. What is it like when somebody experiences God's salvation in Jesus Christ? How can we describe that? We fear God. And we have a deep respect for Him and for His Son. We remember what the Lord has done for us. And we serve Him and we trust Him. And we wait for the day when we will hear that trumpet sound announcing the second coming of our Savior. Then our freedom will be complete. Let us glory in our Redeemer.